Who likes the story of Esther? Just give me a... Yeah. Are you here, Sean, or are you out? Good. You know the reason I've asked that, don't you? Because Sean's my biggest cheerleader. So, come on. Anyone else want to join Sean's club? And thank you. Come on. Give me a cheer this morning. During January, we spent 3 weeks intentionally focusing on what does it mean to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And so for 3 Sundays, we were really unpacking that. What does it mean for your kingdom to come in me? What does it mean for your kingdom to come within us as a church community? And what does it mean for your kingdom to come in the community that you've placed us in? During the weeks that I spent a lot of time just preparing and thinking and praying into what that really looks like, the kingdom of God at work among us, this character Esther just struck me in so many ways. Those of you that are very familiar with the Bible and like me, maybe have been in church a long time, if you're not too familiar with the story of Esther, and I'm actually going to tell you the story of Esther, because, do you know, I think if you're like me, you've been in church a long time, you might not know the story. We think we know stories, and then we discover we don't. Trouble is, we're a bit too proud to admit it. Okay, so I'm just going to remind us of the story of Esther, because we go, oh yeah, I know the story of Esther. What we know is that Esther was the brave girl. She was very beautiful. She was a brave girl who went into the king. And what we know about Esther is this famous verse that is quoted so many times, and Pete said it this morning. Esther, who knows that you have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Anyone familiar with that statement? Yeah, and that's quite a trendy. Do you know there's trendy statements in the church? Do you know that? You know, Jeremiah 29:11, that's a trendy one, for I know the plans I have for you. We have our trendy verses. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm not knocking it, it's great, but sometimes we have, I call them the pull off the shelf ones. And I think this verse in Esther is a pull off the shelf one. Who knows, my friend, that you have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this? And so we love Esther for that very triumphalist statement. Wow, Esther was the brave woman that went into the king for such a time as this. But I wonder if there's a lot about Esther's life and her story that actually we just overlook. You're looking at someone who's guilty of that. So I have really enjoyed looking at this wonderful person, Esther, looking at the characters around her and just asking some questions. And this morning I just want to share actually just 2 things really that have grabbed me about this story. So that's what we're going to do today. I wouldn't be surprised if another time some other things about Esther come up, because that's just kind of what happens when you're a preacher. So here's the thing. We're going to first of all just remind ourselves of the story of Esther. So stay awake this morning. Are you with me? Okay, 4 main characters. I'm going to need some people to help me. I need someone to come and be King Xerxes. All you've got to do is just hold some paper. Come on, Pete, you can do that, all right? This is King. So King Xerxes is 4 main characters in the story of Esther. The second character that we have is Mordecai. So who wants to come and be my Mordecai? Anyone? Richard, thank you. We're sticking with agendas here, so we're going to have a woman in a minute, all right? That's fine. We then have our beautiful, stunning, amazing Esther. Come on, don't be... Oh! Dave, come on in. Come and be our Esther. Oh, God help us. God help us. Here we go. Come on, there we go. And we need... this one deserves a bit of a boo. We need our Haman. Come on, Sean. Look at that. We've got 4 men. What's going on here this morning? Honestly. Come on, Haman. Come on, we need a boo for Haman, because he's our evil villain in the story. I'm going to... look at him, he's really acting it out. This doesn't normally happen at Harbour Church, okay? So don't let this put you off. I promise you, we don't normally do an acting out thing. But I really want us to get this story this morning, because I think we miss a lot. So basically, this story is set around 2,500 years ago, something like that, around 470 BC. So for those of you that did walk through the Bible recently, you will remember that they told us about how the Israelites, they were taken captive, they were taken to Babylon, they were in exile for 70 years. But you might remember the story that he told us, that actually after that 70 years, they were then allowed to go back. They were allowed to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem. They were allowed to go back and build the temple. We read about that in Ezra and Nehemiah. And so these Jews have gone back, but there were some Jews that just wanted to stay. And if you remember, what was he called? Paul. The guy Paul that did the teaching with us. He said, if you stick around in a place for 70 years, it's going to start feeling like home. And certainly the generations that followed, the children that were born during the exile, they would have wanted to have remained because it was home for them. So they would have wanted to remain. So some Jews went back, but some Jews remained. And two of the Jews that remained were Mordecai and Esther. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about them. But the story starts, chapter 1, with this king, who, let's be honest, he was so powerful, so amazing, like so rich, like kind of a rah, but he was a bit of an idiot. Okay, the reason I say that, no offense, Pete, is because when you read the story about this king, he actually was really rubbish at making decisions for himself. Like, as I've read through the book of Esther, I'm just like, this man just surrounded himself with people that gave him advice all the time. And anything they said, he went, all right. Like, I just think he didn't really have a brain for himself. I'll leave that with you. Genuinely, though, on a positive note, this makes me go, we need to pray for leaders in our nation and across the world. Because just because they're in a position and there are some mighty, authoritative, powerful people, just like this king was, they need our prayers. Can I hear an amen to that? They need our prayers. So King Xerxes, so basically, because he wanted to show off all of his wealth, all of his power, and he really was probably the most powerful man in the world at the time, he wanted to show that all off. He went for like 6 months of just celebrating who he was. 6 months of partying, 6 months of come and see all that I am. Come and just adore, come and look at my greatness. And within this period of showing off everything that he had, he wanted his wife, Queen Vashti, to come in and just to parade herself. He wanted to show her off. You know, some people suggest that he maybe even wanted her to come and show herself off naked. I don't know. Some people suggest that. But the point is this, he was being quite abusive to her. And he was basically saying, come in, I want to show you off to people. Her response was, no. Wise woman. She said, no. At which point, he gets a bit mad because he's had far too much to drink. So he's properly sloshed, too much to drink, and he's really angry, and he's got idiots around him who go, don't stand for that. If you stand for that, every woman in this land will start saying no to their husbands. Get rid of her. So he gets rid of her, and then he has a beauty contest to say, I need another queen. Who becomes that beauty, that queen? Esther. Esther is cousin to Mordecai. There's such a beautiful relationship between these two. You see, Esther's an orphan. Her mum and dad have died. We don't know the circumstances there. So she's an orphan. And so Mordecai, some people think that actually he was her uncle. He wasn't. He was a cousin. But he's an older cousin. And so he has lovingly taken care of Esther. He's looked after her. He's nurtured her. And so basically Esther now goes for this beauty parade. And she wins. She becomes the queen to this lovely, slightly idiotic, drunken king. That's Esther. But the plot thickens because Haman over here, you're on cue. Haman over here really doesn't like Mordecai. You see, Haman's the prime minister and he's a bit full of himself as well. Do you get a bit of a theme here? Two men that are really full of themselves. And so Haman is so full of himself, he says, wherever I walk, I want people to bow down to me. Mordecai over here, who's a Jew, loves God, says, I'm not bowing to him. So he refuses to bow, which really hacks him off big style. This man also has people around him who say, don't stand for that. How dare this man not bow down to you when you're all powerful? And so he gets properly hacked off and says, I'm going to get rid of Mordecai, not just Mordecai, but all the Jews. So all the Jews. So he's the evil villain. Mordecai hears about this and he says, what? We're all going to be killed, because he goes to the king and says, yes, kill them all. So Mordecai gets a message to Esther, and this is the famous line that comes, and says to Esther, Esther, you're in the palace for a reason, girl. Get your brave kit on. Get to the king and say, please save my people. This is an incredible story of how Esther has the courage, and she goes to the king, and she says to the king, please save my people. I want to encourage you to read the story of Esther. I'm giving it to you in a nutshell. But basically, the king gets really angry because he says, how dare Haman? Is there a boo for Haman? How dare Haman do this to my precious, gorgeous Esther? And the story ends with Haman being, impaled on a pole. All right, literally. The very pole that he set up for Mordecai. Be careful what you set up for other people. Just throwing that one out there. Be careful what you say about other people. It might come back on you. So this guy sets up a 75-foot pole to impale this guy, and instead, he goes on it. And the story ends with Esther, Mordecai. He becomes the prime minister, and Esther and Mordecai together just bring the kingdom of God into the palace. Give our four wonderful men. Two very simple things that I want to draw out of this story. And I've told you the story deliberately because I just think sometimes we forget the detail of the story. Here's my first point, and it's this. There was a process that led to Esther's purpose. There was a process that led to Esther's purpose. So often we are focused intently on the purpose. Esther, this amazing, brave woman. So often we get focused on the purpose. We love the story of Esther. We love the story of Moses. We love the story of Joseph. We love all these characters. We love Moses. We love Daniel. And we love them because, wow, they're the heroes. They're the ones that got their brave kit on. They're the ones that saw breakthrough. They're the ones that saw the miracle. But we forget the process that got them there. And I'm going to tell you, when I see the story of Esther, it reminds me that there is a process. There is always a process in our lives that leads us to our purpose. And here's the challenge for all of us. Most of us hate the process. We hate the process. If you look behind you, there's something being built behind you. Steve has been in and he's building a big PA desk, and I don't know when it'll be done. Last week, Steve arrived with all the wood, and I looked at him and just groaned. I went, this is Steve over here. I went, oh. That's going to create mess, literally. And he looked at me and he said, you don't like the process, do you, sir? I said, no, I hate it. Do you know how much I hate this scaffolding? Like, I hate it, but it's going to be down soon. See, here's the thing. Some of you have got scaffolding around your life right now, and God's put it there for a reason. And you're fighting it, and you're saying, I don't want it, I don't want the process. And God's saying, if you're not willing to walk the process, you're not going to get to the purpose that I've put on your life. If we rush the process, we won't get to the purpose. And I want to remind you this morning, quite quickly, I'm not going to labour this, but there is a process in our lives that we have to walk through in order to fulfil the purpose that God has got in our life. If we look at Esther, three things that I see in her process. She had this beauty process. It was an outward thing. You know, for 12 months, she was bathed in oil. She was made up. I mean, I'd love it, you know. Get the lippy out. You know, I just love it. I'd be in my element, 12 months of beauty treatment. I can't think of anything worse. I just can't think of anything. Some of you are like, yes, give me 12 months of beauty treatment. Like, seriously, this woman, I have so much respect for her. 12 months until eventually you can go and see your king. Oh, let's not think about that too much. But 12 months, what a process. But you know, that wasn't the only process that she went through, but 12 months of beauty treatment. I see in the story of Esther that she also went through a discerning process. If you've been in church for the last few weeks, you will have heard us talk about this. The ability to discern what the Holy Spirit is saying, when to act and what to do. Do you know, Esther was an incredibly wise woman and she listened to Mordecai. They were wise together. Esther knew when to speak up and she knew when to shut up. She knew when to say who she was, and she knew when to be quiet about who she was. There was a discerning process. When Mordecai says, you need to go to the king, she says, okay, in order to make this happen, you fast and I'll fast. She discerned the time. When she knew she was going to have to go to the king, she prepares the right atmosphere. She first of all invites him and Haman to a meal, but she doesn't rush right in on the first meal. She then says, come back tomorrow night and I'll cook you another feast. And it was on the second night that she then discerned, now is the time to make my request to the king. Too many of us rush the process. We rush what God is doing in our lives because we're so keen to get to the end result. And God says, will you just slow down? Will you discern my process? Will you discern what I'm doing in your life in order to fulfill the purpose? I have seen too many Christians, and I hold my hand up to say I'm one of them, that rush to the finish line. We rush for the purpose. What's my purpose? God, what's your calling on my life? God, what is it? Give me a dream. Tell me my mission. And he just goes, will you just slow down? Because there's a lot of work I need to do in you before I release you for your purpose. Is anyone hearing me today? The purpose is what it's all about. I didn't know what Pete was going to read today. Romans 5, verse 3 to 5 says this. Jim, if you can put that up, it's up there. Says these words. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Oh, who's celebrating a trial right now? Like, come on, we don't like this stuff. But there's a look at the process here that Paul says. When there's a trial, it helps us develop endurance. And then what happens? Endurance develops strength of character. Oh, I'd like a bit of strength of character. Well, Sarah, are you willing to go through the trials? Oh, I'd rather dodge the trials. Can I just get to the strength of character? And this character strengthens the confident hope I have in Jesus. Oh, I look at some people, Celia would be one of them, and I think, oh, I just want the confident hope that she has. Am I willing to go through some of the trials that she's walked through? Because it's our trials that produce endurance, and it's endurance that produces strength of character, and it's our strength of character that produces this incredible hope that we have in Jesus. There is a process. There is a process to walk through all the time. Do you know the other thing about Esther? She went through the beauty process. She went through this discerning process, but she also went through the bravery, courageous process. And what I mean by that is that do not kid yourself. She went through an internal battle to get to the king. Like, do not kid yourself when you read the Bible. Oh, she just waltzed into the palace. She was terrified. Have you had a terrified moment this week? Is there something that's looming over you right now that you just go, I can't do it. I can't do it. Maybe it's in a relational area of your life. I don't know what it is, but there's something that just terrifies you. Maybe it's a decision you need to make. Esther was terrified. That's why she fasted and why she said to Mordecai, you better fast as well. She went through an internal battle. I don't know about you, but I know what those internal battles are like. I know what it is to face some Goliaths within me. I know what it is. I'm having to do it right now over some things. Face some Goliaths and say, I will not let you intimidate me anymore. But there is a process that Esther walked through that enabled her purpose to be fulfilled. And friend, I want to tell you, if there's an internal battle going on right now, walk the process. Don't dodge it. Don't run. Walk the process. You say, Sarah, it's painful. I know it's painful. But I promise you, there is purpose in the process and you will get there. I promise you. Can anyone agree with me this morning? There's purpose in the process. Do you know God wants to purify us? God wants to purify us. Oh, I wish I had more time on this. I might have to return to it in a few weeks. David prayed prayers like this. Search me, O God. Test me. See if there's any anxious thoughts within me and lead me in the way of everlasting life. He prayed prayers like this, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. What was David saying? He was on his knees saying, God, purify me. Purify me. God, cleanse me. See if there's stuff in me that's causing me damage or causing other people damage and deal with it. God, purify me. God is more concerned about you than what you do. That needs to land somewhere. He is more concerned about you. And the process that he's doing in your life, you matter to him. Can I tell you something? If we don't start yielding to the work he's doing in our lives, we are going to remain damaged, but worse as well, other people will be damaged around us. That's the truth. This is too important to dodge. The process is too important. I read my Bible and I read in Revelation that Jesus is coming for a beautiful bride. He has dressed us in robes of righteousness. I wonder if you're fighting those robes this morning. I wonder if he's trying to place them on you and you're going, no, get them off, get them off. I'd rather wear my own robes. I'd rather wear my own righteousness. The Bible says your righteousness is a filthy rag. It's a filthy rag. I've always struggled with the parable that Jesus told because it's a really uncomfortable one about this banquet and people didn't come to the banquet, so he just invited everyone, tell them to come. And then there was a guy who got in and he's sitting there in his own clothes and Jesus gets pretty mad about that and says, what are you doing? You haven't got the wedding gear on. And it says that they threw him out. I mean, they're not parables that are easy to read. Like, let's stick to the comfortable ones, not the uncomfortable ones. And this week I read it and Jesus said to me, the truth is he was wearing his own rags of righteousness, not the ones that Jesus had got for him. That's what that story is all about. I don't know about you, but I want to wear his robes. And the way I'm going to wear his robes is by doing what Pat has just said, sitting in his presence, allowing him to clothe me, not me trying to clothe God. Not me say, look at me, God, look at how amazing I am, but allowing his grace to be enough for me, his righteousness to be enough for me. I want to wear his clothes, because when I wear his clothes, I'm beautiful. And you are too. Oh, the clothes of the King, the clothes that he has for us. Paul says this in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's talking a process. A process. Gareth's taken us on a teaching series at the minute about growing. What's that about? It's about process. Say that word with me just to keep yourselves awake. Process. Who likes the process? There's a process. And we need to start saying, God, I yield to your process. I'm going to scrap a lot of my notes here. I'm going to move on really quickly. Oh, God, help me, please. Stop that clock. Last Sunday, we heard a great message from the students from the Bible school, and they finished by singing this beautiful song that many of you know. It talks about the new wine, the new thing God wants to do in us. And it says this line, God, I yield to you and to your perfect plan. Help me trust you, even when I don't understand. The secret to the process, friends, is this. Yielding. Yielding. God, I yield to you and to your perfect plan. The trouble is we're quite stubborn, aren't we? And a lot of the time we'd rather just yield to ourselves and do it our way. But I honestly believe, Harbour Church, that 2020, God wants to do some purifying among us. I'm not just bringing a word this morning that it just feels like a preach off the shelf. There's a lot I really believe this is a message for us as a church. The 3 weeks of prayer that we had, this message came out again and again. God is saying, I want to purify you. That's why I love what you shared, Pat. You think you've got it all together? You haven't got a clue. I'm not saying that. I feel like that's what God's saying to us as a church. God wants to take us on a process this year. And we might not see a lot of the purpose, but are we willing to walk the process and trust him for the purpose? Are we willing for that? Are we willing to lay down what we think our purpose is to trust him for the process in our lives? I'm going to return to this another time because The second thing that I want to say, and this is an easier point for me because this makes my heart glad. Esther moments are only possible because of Mordecai's. Esther moments are only possible because of Mordecai's. And I want to ask you this question. Esther's in the room, have you got a Mordecai? And Mordecai's in the room, have you got an Esther? What am I trying to say is this, is that the whole heartbeat of God is togetherness. The whole heartbeat of God is, Esther, I'm going to give you a Mordecai. Esther could not have done what she did without a Mordecai behind her, loving her, nurturing her, shaping her, filling her life with wisdom. Listen to me, Harbour Church, can we make a decision today that we're going to be that kind of people? People that just gather Esthers around us? People that say, I'm going to love, I'm going to find the orphan, I'm going to love the orphan. You don't understand what I'm saying by this. The people that need our care and they need our support, and that's not just children. There's a lot of adults in this room that need some loving and nurturing. You don't all have to say amen, but I'm telling you. Are we going to be the kind of people like Mordecai who say, I'm going to invest, I'm going to love, I'm going to care, I'm going to nurture? But here's the thing about Mordecai, he wasn't afraid to challenge. He wasn't afraid to confront. He wasn't afraid to send pretty harsh messages back to Esther when Esther's going, are you sure? Like, what can I do? If I go to the king, I might die for it. And Mordecai comes back and goes, well, Esther, that's incredibly selfish of you. I mean, really, that's what he said. He said, you're just thinking about yourself. He said, if you don't do this, girl, you're going to die. I mean, you read it, go home and read it. I mean, it's not quite Sarah's, I appreciate I'm paraphrasing it a little bit. But basically, Mordecai said, if you don't do this, God will raise up somebody else. He had faith, that man. If you don't do this, Esther, God will find somebody else. But who knows, Esther, that you have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows, Esther, that God made you stunningly, beautifully gorgeous so that you would be able to get right into the king's presence and be able to put your plea before him? Esther needed a Mordecai. And I want to say to you, friends, who's your Mordecai? Who have you got cheering you on? Who have you got not only beautifying you and saying you're brilliant, you're wonderful, but who have you got challenging you? Who's coming alongside you and saying, come on, you can do better than that? Who do you allow into your life to speak so strongly that actually you might not like it, but actually you know it does you good and it's what you need? Esther moments require a Mordecai. You say, how's that possible, Sarah? Well, I just want to gently say it's going to be incredibly difficult for you if you alienate yourself. Choice is yours. You say, I'm super busy. I know you're busy. Life's busy. Everyone's busy. Only you can choose where you position yourself. So we have many ways of doing that in this church. It's why we're so passionate about our Connect groups. I don't stand here on a Sunday morning talking about things like Connect groups or prayer meetings or stuff like that because I'm desperate for a bum on a chair. I used to be years ago, but those days are long gone. It's because I love you that much, I know that you need it. I'm desperate for it, church. Do you know where Satan attacks us the most? When he isolates us. I'm telling you, he's real, he's wicked, he's vile. You think Haman's bad? I'm telling you, Haman was controlled by Satan. Some of you have got some Hamans in your life and you're freaking out and you're not coping. Well, where's your Mordecais? Come on, church, where's your Mordecais? And I'm almost at the point where I think I'm sick of talking about it. So I just pray for everyone a lot. If connecting with people isn't important to you, go home and search your heart. Oh, Sarah, but I can do it on my own. No, you can't. That's a lie from Satan. If you're here this morning going, well, I'm just visiting, but I just believe in the universal church of God. Oh, well, that's not what my Bible tells me. My Bible tells me that he places us in communities. He puts people around us. We're meant to do life together. But Sarah, I don't like the people that you've put me with. Well, my Mordecai moment says, stop being so selfish and get over yourself. Is this being recorded? I might edit some of it. Can I tell you this? I'm just picking one area, Connect groups. There's ministry teams. There's all kinds of stuff. Do you know, our prayer gatherings. What I'm saying to you is this. Find people that you can connect with. But I want to say this about Connect groups, because I've heard it too many times. And I'm saying this with a pastor's heart to you today. So many people say, oh, but I don't get anything out of it. Well, just maybe it's not about you. Just maybe God needs you in the room. Just maybe. Have you thought about that? Have you thought that maybe if you rocked up with the attitude of how can I bless, something phenomenal might happen? Just maybe. Our prayer gatherings, oh, how we need them. If you feel a calling to prayer, every Wednesday we're going to be praying at 12 o'clock. Once a month on a Saturday, the prayer breakfast went so well during January, so the last Saturday of each month is going to be a prayer breakfast. Some of you prefer the breakfast to the prayer. That's cool. Just enjoy both, okay? On a Sunday morning, we've now got a prayer room that's set up in there from 9:45. If you're able to come early, would you come and join us in that room? We're just going to be praying, just praying, just praying. God, we can't do any of this without praying. We need God. And there'll be more stuff happening, but we have to pray together, we have to connect together. That's why men, you need to be committing to the men's things that's going on. Ladies, do the same. We've got a ladies' conference coming up in May the 16th. Oh, come on, here's a bit of good news. Who remembers Nikki Rucci? She came to the pavilion when we had the, Australian. So she's out in Australia now with her husband, Gary. She emailed me, said, Sarah, I'm coming to England in October. I'd love to come and speak at Harbour. So I think we might just do two conferences this year. Anyone up for two conferences? Come on, let's make up for the time we've lost. I want to tell you this, there is power in two. Don't go it alone. We need one another. We need one another. And as I conclude, the thing about the story of Esther that I love is that it tells me on every page that God is sovereign. Every page is a story of God's sovereignty. I mean, right, literally, right at the last minute, there's a lovely little curveball where King Xerxes has a dream, and that dream just changes things for Mordecai. I mean, I don't have time to tell you it all. It's a fantastic book. Go and read it, 10 chapters. But it speaks of God's sovereignty. Dave, can we come up? Is that okay? Would you just close your eyes with me? Would you just begin to talk to God and say, God, what are you saying to me? Maybe he's saying something that I haven't even said. That's fantastic. I love it when God does that. I want to remind you this morning that if Esther's story teaches us anything, it teaches us that there's a process that leads to a promise, that leads to the purpose. There's a process. This morning, the challenge for us is to yield to the process. Which robes are you wearing, friend? His robes or your robes? So I yield to you, to your careful hand. And I'll trust you, even though I don't understand. Make me your vessel. Make me whatever you want me to be. God, I yield to your process in my life. I yield to your process. Some of you just need to right now just say, I do, God. Come on, right now, as I'm just speaking these words, some of you just need to say, I'm hearing you, God. Some of you are walking through a process right now, and you are desperate to run. The word from God for you today is don't rush it. Don't rush it. Allow the Holy Spirit to do a deep cleansing work in your heart, because there is an incredible purpose for your life. And if you rush the process, you will not get to the purpose. I joked about the 12-month beauty treatment. I just think there's somebody in the room today that's significant for you. 12 months, really, God? And he's going, yeah, 12 months. 12 months of just allowing me to beautify you. In all respect, there's some ugly bits in our lives. They're in me too. And the Holy Spirit says, will you yield to me and allow me to do a process in your life that beautifies you? Father, Father.